It is nice to be here. I feel like so at home at your church. I just think it's so pretty. You step out in the parking lot and it just takes your breath away. It's so beautiful. And that's kind of the way God feels about you, that when you step out from your home, he's like, yep, that's beautiful right there. And that's how your husband feels. No matter how you feel, studies say that your husband thinks you're hot. Like, doesn't matter if you're pregnant, ready to give birth. Doesn't matter if you're like all sweaty, have been cleaning the kitchen. Your husband shows you and he thinks you're beautiful. And so we're going to talk today about Red Hot, our book Red Hot Monogamy, and answer the question, what does it take to have a red hot relationship? Now, a lot of times people ask, so Pam, how did that title happen? How did you get the title for your book? Well, how it happened was, it was back at our 25th wedding anniversary, and my friend Anita Renfro was there doing music. Now, you might not know Anita's name, but you've probably seen her on Good Morning America or one of the many comedy shows. She wrote the What Moms Say in 1 minute to the William Tell Overture. It was like viral. And she's also really, just really very talented musician. And so she was in doing some romantic music for our 25th wedding anniversary, like dinner dance thing. And she got up and she's like, hey y'all, we're here to celebrate Pam and Bill's Ratchet's Red Hot Monogamy. And my friends knew we had just signed a book contract to write a book about sex. And they leaned, we're like sitting right here, and they leaned over. They're like, that's a great title. And Anita heard them. She's like, you can use that, girlfriend. So we did. And then people like, well, how do we know, Pam, that your relationship's red hot? I mean, it's not like I'm going to invite you over, pull up the blinds, put chairs out, give you scorecards. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. So how do you know that our relationship, now that it's, you know, close to 40 years, is still got that spark and that sizzle in our marriage? Well, I'll tell you a story that happens about that same time frame. And our son Brock, at this point, was a quarterback at Liberty University. He, in fact, he met his wife at Liberty because I did a book signing on 10 best decisions a parent can make in Hannah's parents' Christian bookstore. And after I told this story about Brock being a, you know, young man of integrity, Hannah's mom said, where did you say Brock got his scholarship? And I said, he's a quarterback at Liberty. She's like, my Hannah's at Liberty. So we exchanged pictures and phone numbers of the kids. So totally into arranged marriages. Just go ahead and do it here. Just kidding. But it was at that place that they were dating now and things were getting serious. So you want to do the whole meet the parents, but we actually knew the parents. Well, we just wanted to get together, our two families, and we thought, well, what a better place to do that than the International Christian Retail Show, because the laws had to be there and we had to be there, and it was really close to Liberty, so the kids could drive down. So that's what we did, and we had a great lunch together, and then Bill and I headed back to change our clothes because we had some television appearances we had to do, and Brock stayed with Hannah and her family. And pretty soon, you know, they headed back because they had some business that they had to start taking care of. And Brock walked Hannah back to her hotel, and then he walked across downtown Atlanta to the Omni where we were staying. And while he was walking across Atlanta, he got caught in this torrential downpour. And so he sloshes his way up, you know, the hallway, and he sees the Do Not Disturb sign on our door. And I could hear him say, are you kidding me? What? I'm like soaking wet here, but I can't interrupt my parents. Look at that sign. And I just smiled. I opened the door and I said, Brock, it's okay. Your dad's already taken off for his interview, but thank you so much that the first thought in your 20-year-old mind that you thought your parents were doing Wednesday at 2 o'clock was red hot monogamy. Thanks for that. Yeah. we're going to ask the question, what does it take to have a red-hot relationship? And we're going to be I'll be chatting, and then I'll give you a chance to chat. And the first thing we need to look at, in order to really comprehend why this whole sex thing is around, is why did God make red-hot monogamy? What did he have in mind? And so there's five reasons that God gave red-hot monogamy. And we're going to jump in there, but I want to give you a little test before we do that. And that is, in 52 Ways to Wow Your Husband, I was doing some studies, and sometimes it's really simple things that make a relationship red hot and stay red hot. For example, Women's Health published a common sense study that said women who greet their spouse good morning as they start their day had better days than those who didn't. So 94% of women who greeted their husband good morning in any form or fashion rate their relationship red hot. And then I was, again, I just love how science and like biblical wisdom oftentimes dovetail. And when I was researching for this little book, Red Hot Romance, that today's really founded on, one of the things I found out is if you give somebody a hug, even a 5-second hug is going to lower their stress and raise their confidence level. And so I want you to raise the confidence level of your friend sitting next to you, because today when we talk about sex, sometimes we need to be brave and confident and courageous. And so I want you to give a hug to the girlfriend sitting next to you and just do a reminder, hey, remember to tell them good morning tomorrow. Can you do that? Okay, there's five reasons that God gave red hot monogamy or sex, and the first one is procreation. Procreation. And we see this little verse in Genesis. You know, in Genesis, I love how God describes the creation. And God made the heavens and it was good. God made the earth and it was good. God made the moon and it was good. God made the stars and it was good. And God made, you know, the plants and it was good. And God made the animals and it was good. And God made man and it was good. And God made woman. It was very good. Love that. And so right after creation, he like said to Adam and Eve, hey, be fruitful and multiply. So that's what MOPS is all about, right? Is y'all are here because you have some kids. So I kind of want to get a read on how many kids are represented here. So how many of you have one? Put a one up. Two. Three. Four. Five. Is there any fives? Five. Awesome. Okay, you get a free copy of Red Hot Romance Tips. I'm not sure if you'll have any time to do it. Oh, I'll let you pick it up at the table at the end. So come see me at the end. Yeah, I'm not sure you'll have any time to do it, but obviously she's very good at it, right? So that's, yay. So all of you can put a check mark, yes. It's great that we try to replace ourselves in this society, because we need more awesome women like you, awesome people like you, both boys and girls. And then, you know, that kind of brings up this whole topic of, after I usually speak on red hot monogamy, I have a line of women like, okay, how do I talk to my kids about this? And because we know we're supposed to, but a lot of times there's just like a lot of mixed feelings about it. And I just want to encourage you that it is very possible to talk to your kids confidently if you just do a little prep. And so when we wrote the questions kids ask about sex, what we did is we helped you reach up and get answers from God and then reach out to other moms and leaders and build relationships so you're all teaching the same kind of thing, and then reach down with really practical answers all the way from preschool to premarital, what to say at different ages and stages. And, you know, even us grandparents sometimes get caught off guard, like you will probably got caught off guard. For example, there's this little boy, he came in to talk to his grandpa. And he said, Papa, what's it called when there's like one person on the bottom and then another person laying on top of them? And Grandpa thought, wow, I want to tell him the truth, but I haven't really talked to my daughter about how does she want me to handle this situation, what does she want me to say, but I always want him to be able to come to me. Well, son, that's called sexual intercourse. He's like, okay, and he takes off, and he comes back a few minutes later. He's like, Grandpa, it is not. It's called bunk beds, and Mom wants to talk to you right now. Yeah. So you might want to fill in your parents, your in-laws, you know. What do you want them to say if your kids happen to ask that question? So procreation. The second reason that God gave sex is recreation. Recreation. We read this little story in the Bible that says, and it came to pass there had been they had been there a long time. It's talking about Isaac and his wife Rebekah had been in this land a long time, that the king of the Philistines looked out the window. Okay, so what's going on here? Isaac and Rebekah are going across a hostile territory. And it was very common in those days, if the king thought you were beautiful, he would just take you into the harem. So Isaac thought, let's just say that we're brother and sister. I'm not sure why he thought that might help, you know, her escape the harem. But anyway, that was the lie that they put out there. Well, Isaac put out there, and Rebekah went along with it. And but they had been in the land for a while, and the king looked out, and we're not sure exactly what he saw, but it says, behold, Isaac was sporting with his wife, Rebekah. Now, we're not sure whether it was the, you know, just a little bit of foreplay, or whether it was the whole act of red-hot monogamy, but the king definitely decided, yeah, that's not his sister. And, you know, the Bible can use any word for sex. Most often in the Old Testament, it uses the word no, because that's really the goal of sex, is to know somebody from the inside out, from the top of their head to the bottom of their souls, just know everything about them and give yourself to them. So the Bible uses that beautiful word to know. But in this case, it used sporting. And so sex is supposed to be fun, like recreational. And in Red Hot Romance Tips, I give like a list of things that you can do that are active. And it's really interesting that couples that are physically active, like work out together, do sports, have more red hot monogamy than those who don't. And it could be because we, you know, get fit and we feel better about our bodies, but it could just be that happy endorphins are released when you do physical activities. And so I want to give you some ideas right up here. Whoop. Huh. Up there, they're there, but they're not here. There we go. Okay. So, I'm going to give you some ideas of what you can do on a date, maybe for Valentine's Day. So, take to the dance floor, line, swing, ballroom, take to the water, kayak, jet ski, water ski, windsurf, take to the air, parasail, skydive, glider, take to wheels, bike, motorcycle, skate, take to the ice or snow. We like to snowshoe, maybe snowboarding, skiing, take up a racket, table tennis, badminton, tennis, racquetball, take a swing, golf, softball, take a hike or a backpack or a stroll along the beach, take advantage of Wii technology, Wii Fit, dance party, take a hunt, camera, rifle, bow and arrow, go out hunting, take to the gym, CrossFit, kickboxing, Zumba. We did Zumba one Valentine's Day. The funniest. Oh, the funny, just to see my husband be like, hey, hey, it was awesome. So I want you to turn with just that friend sitting next to you, and which one of those things would you enjoy doing with your husband, or what would you think your husband would enjoy doing with you in this next couple weeks? Okay, just take a moment and share the answer. Ready, set, go. Okay, come on back. Reconnection. The third reason that God gave sex is reconnection. And this is the verse that describes why God thinks it's a connection. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent for a time so that you might devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now, when I read that verse, shortly after that, as a newlywed, I had to go to the doctor, and I was sitting in my doctor's office because I really struggled with migraines. And so I picked up a magazine, and I'm reading, and there's this little sidebar that says that sex is good for migraines because it, you know, like opens up those blood vessels. And so I just read this verse and I had prayed, Lord, you know that I want to say yes to Bill as much as possible, but you know I struggle with migraines. And I read that sidebar and I'm like, oh, instead of not tonight I have a headache, it's yes tonight I have a headache. And so sometimes there's ways that sex rejuvenates us. And the Bible was really clear that the best way that sex will rejuvenate us is if it's within the context of marriage, because that commitment is a safeguard to us. And it's like all the crazy hard stuff that has to do with sex is when you misuse it. And for example, if we always tell people, like, if you sit in front of a fire in the fireplace, like, think about how romantic that is, and the fire warms you, and the light of the fire is a beautiful glow, and everybody looks beautiful in it. But if you take that fire out of the fireplace and you throw it down on the carpet, it pretty much burns your house down. And that's basically just what God is saying, is if you use sex within the context it was created, it's beautiful and it'll bless you. And it even blesses our body, like happy endorphins are released. And I came across this study that sex even burns calories. According to the calorie counter on the health status website, an hour of sex burns 250 calories, the same amount as an hour of walking. I mean, which would you rather do, right? To better put the number in perspective, 60 minutes of sleeping burns 55 calories, an hour of running burns 800. Assuming that one did not make any alterations in his or her diet, by engaging in an hour of sex every day, one would lose a pound every 2 weeks. Kissing burns calories too. Professor Brian Stanford, a PhD at the University of Louisville, one of my sons is a coach there, so it's good school. This professor postulates that a deep, passionate kiss may double your basic metabolic rate and burn as much as 2 calories a minute, so do the math. Kissing for 15 minutes burns approximately 30 calories, but if you were to kiss passionately for 15 minutes, that might lead to other calorie-burning activities. Yeah, so I'm like, oh, awesome, the Red Hot Monogamy Diet Plan. I'm a little bit more motivated for that one. So rejuvenation. And then, oh, I just want to go back to that rejuvenation. In that verse, it shared the two smartest, strongest things that you can do to safeguard your marriage, and that is pray for your spouse and have red hot monogamy with them. Those are the two tools that that verse lists out. So if you don't take home anything else today, take home that thought. And then rejuvenation, you see this right here. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, I'm faint for your love. This is a verse that is out of Song of Solomon. Red Hot Monogamy has 8 chapters in it, and Song of Solomon has 8 chapters in it. So we kind of base the book on a real-life love story. And here we hear the wife say, strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, I'm faint for your love. Now, what she's not saying, hey, let's go on a picnic here. No, what she's saying, this is more like a Taylor Swift love song, but without the breakup. Or, you know, Faith Hill, this kiss, this kiss. That picture, this verse, like that. It's a metaphor like, oh, you're like the air I breathe. You're like the food that I eat. I mean, I have to have food to stay alive. I have to be with you to stay alive. That's basically what she's saying. She's saying that time with her husband rejuvenates her. So we have procreation, recreation, reconnection, rejuvenation, and then proclamation. Proclamation. For it's this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. It's talking about Christ and the church. And so what God's saying there is your love is light. How well you love your spouse and how well he loves you, how well you love each other, how well you love your kids, just how you treat people is a light to this world. And people are in the world that we live in, people are asking, does anybody have the real deal in their marriage? Does any marriage last for a lifetime? Can it truly be happily ever after? What would make a relationship red hot? And that's probably the number one question we get asked. Bill was a pastor, and I was director of women's ministry, and we speak all over the world. But when people just see us together, and they don't know what we do for work, they'll be like, "What is it? Like, he smiles when you walk into a room, and you always talk good about him, and what do you have?" And that's when we get to share that we have God. That God is that difference. God is that glue. And let me share just one story to give you an example that love is a light. Your love is a light. I was at your age and stage of life, and so our kids were all in youth sports. Do I have any that are youth sports yet, like soccer, t-ball? Yeah, a few of you have entered that. And so it was like first kids, you're super motivated. My husband was the coach, I'm the team mom, and we're new to this community, so we thought, how better to reach the community than be involved in youth sports? And so my friend, I made a new friend there, I'll call her Trina, and she had three kids and by three different men, and she was pregnant with her fourth. Different guy living with a condom salesman. Are you catching the irony of that situation? Yeah. And she had so many questions about God. And one day she brought me a flyer. She's like, "Picked up this flyer at Bonds. It says Jesus is coming to the LA Coliseum. You want to go with me?" And I'm like, "What?" And she's like, "Oh, I had my palm read, so I know God's will." I'm like, "Time out. It sounds like you really want to know God's plan for you, and God does have a wonderful plan. Jesus says he came to give you life and came to give you abundant life that might be full and meaningful, and God wants you to have that. I would love to show you God's love letter. It's called the Bible, and we could study it together, and you could hear straight from God how he wants to love you. And you want to do that once a week, and then we'll take the kids to the park or the beach." She's like, "Okay." And so she was coming to these Bible studies, but no big movement yet, spiritually. And one day, there's this principle that we teach, and men are like waffles and like spaghetti, that the thing you love most about your spouse can become a source of irritation. That thing you first fell in love with can just tick you off after a while. It's like two sides of the same coin. You need a way to turn the coin over and remember, "Oh, yeah, that's why I love the guy." And so one of the things I love about Bill is he's a great listener. Like, if you hang out at the book table afterwards and ask him any questions, he will just listen to your heart and help you. He's a wonderful counselor and relationship coach. And that's why I fell in love with him. But because he's so, tuned into people, he never checks his watch. If he's talking to you, he's never going to check his watch. So he's always running 10 or 15 minutes late. Thus the irritation. Well, this particular day, we were down to one car. The other one was in the shop. And Bill said, "I'll bring the van home for you girls." Well, he was running late. And he thought, "Well, I'm running late anyway. I know. To take the edge off Pam, I'll just go by the corner flower shop and bring a dozen roses home. That should make her happy." And so he walks in with these roses and he gives me a kiss and the car keys. And he says, I'll load your girls up for the beach." And my friend said, "Wait a minute, whoa, stop. Pam, did your Jesus make him bring you those roses?" And I said, "Yeah, you could probably say that." She said, "Now I'm ready to know your Jesus." See, your love is a light. And so I want you to write down on a piece of paper just the name of one person or one family that might be looking at your family, at your marriage, somebody in your extended family, and they're looking to see what love looks like. And I want you just to pray, God, make us a light. Make us a light of love, okay? So write down the name of that person and just begin praying for them, because probably they're going to be asking you right around the corner, what's the difference? What's the difference? So if there's all these reasons why God thought sex was important, then how much time does it take to have a red-hot relationship? And the first is, I want you to just write time, T-I-M-E, like an acrostic. And if you want a relationship, a love that lasts for a lifetime, that has the spark and the sizzle in it, then you're going to want to put the T-I-M-E, time, into your marriage to fan the flame, to keep that spark and that sizzle in your relationship. In Red Hot Monogamy, we have 200 red hot ideas, and it's a guidebook. It's 8 weeks long, and it looks at the 8 different areas of intimacy and how to bring unity into each one of those areas, because that will keep the flame strong in your life, and keep that spark and that sizzle. Because if you're like arguing over parenting, there's not going to be a lot of red hot monogamy. If you're arguing over money, there's not going to be a lot of red hot monogamy. So we look at the 8 different areas. Like hold your ring out and just look at your diamond. There's many facets, and love is the same way. There's many facets of love, and if you can get unity in each one of those facets, then your relationships can have that spark and that sizzle. And in Red Hot Monogamy, at the end of every chapter, there's hands-on homework, pun completely intended, homework that you want to do, right? I always tell the girls, if you just put either 52 ways to wow your husband or Red Hot Monogamy on the stack of whatever you buy, your husband will be fine with it. He'll be very excited that you had mops that day. Yeah. So, T is for 10 to 20 minutes a day. This is for us girls. It's chat time. When we're emotionally connected to our husband, we're more likely to want to have red hot monogamy with him. And so this is just, what time of day can you carve out 10 to 20 minutes of adult conversation? Is it, in the morning over coffee before the kids get up and around? Is it at lunchtime when you might meet up for lunch or might call him on the phone, maybe carpool together to your work or for dropping off the kids or picking up the kids? Is it at the end of the day, like when you both first walk in the door and get home? Is it in the evening, right before you put the kids down, you maybe let them watch a little, VeggieTales video and you have some adult conversation? Or is it right after you put the kids to bed before you crash because you're exhausted? So I just want you to write a.m., noon, p.m., when do you think you could find 10 to 20 minutes of adult conversation? And just make it a goal, a.m., noon, p.m. Write that down. And then invest in a weekly date night. And we actually have seen that it's healthier for Bill and I to have 2 weekly dates. And let me tell you the difference. One of them is Thursday night, and we trained our kids that Thursday night is mom and dad adult time. And when they were little, you don't always have to go out, even though there's like tons of ideas in Red Hot Monogamy and the Red Hot Romance book. You don't have to go out. You could do a lot of your dates at home. And so we trained our kids that Thursday night's mom and dad night, and you have the privilege of going to bed early. You can have your Thursday night box of toys. That was the incentive. You only could play with these toys on Thursday night. And you could stay up as late as you want playing with those toys as long as you don't get off your bed. It was like amazing how cooperative the kids were, and their little bodies would just shut down and they would go to sleep about the same time anyway, but they thought it was like some woohoo big party. And so that's one way. Another way is to trade childcare with other MOPS moms. I mean, because if you have, you know, three kids of your own and three kids of a friend, I mean, if you have three kids, you might as well have three more, you know, because it's just chaos anyway. And so trade around so that you each get at least once a month, you know, a date time that is like going out dressed up with some heels on kind of thing. So those are a couple of ideas. Invest in that weekly date night. The second time that we had as a date was like our business meeting. Because what we found is that one day we were out and it was our 10th anniversary and we were on the San Diego Bay and there's lights and there's music and dancing and it was like so romantic for us, but not romantic for the couple sitting next to us. They started talking about problems with the kids, problems with the cars, problems with the IRS. Talking about the IRS on your anniversary, yeah, mood killer, right? And so they were like arguing and it was like so loud, everybody on the boat's like, what do we do for these people? And finally, the woman, she just couldn't take it anymore, and she started crying. She's like, it's our anniversary, and we're just arguing. And so they just quit talking, held captive on this boat in misery for 2 hours. And my heart just broke because the busyness of life had just pulled them apart. And so that's why we put date night questions in the back of all of our marriage books. So you have something to talk about besides the IRS when you go out on a date. And so we thought, you know, we've seen that happen where you go out and it's supposed to be romance and then you start talking about your budget. Kind of squelches the mood. And so we separated those out and we had a Monday morning marriage meeting. And we would go and we would work out together. We would take the kids to school and then we would go out for breakfast and like dialogue about the business side of life. And so that helped us. And so I want you to write on your paper what night of the week, what day, doesn't even have to be night. It could be you go out for breakfast. It could be like lunch. So what day of the week do you think you could find 2 to 4 hours for a date? So just put the initial, you know, in for Monday, Tuesday, etc. Write that down and see if this next week you can pull it off, okay? And AM is for a monthly day away. Again, this one's for us girls because our minds are like spaghetti. And so what that means is that all of our brain is connected to each other. Just like if you looked at a plate of spaghetti, you follow one noodle around that plate, it looks like it touches pretty much every other noodle on the plate. That's the way our mind works. And so responsibilities, we can just accumulate responsibilities and it's just like the bowl of spaghetti is endless. And so a wise husband will take his wife away and just refocus on the two of you once a month, or grab your husband and you be the wise woman and escape for just, you know, 6 to 8 hours and really enjoy some quality time. It doesn't even matter what you do. I mean, you can go to Home Depot as long as it's just you two together on that date. And so sometimes, like, you know, we always try to schedule those in far in advance and, you know, get sitters and maybe get Nana, Papa, or aunts and uncles to help cover, whatever. But sometimes, you know, life just, it just runs on you. My husband was a senior pastor, and so oftentimes, you know, calamities just happen on our date nights. And we did, like, try to equip our church to know that Thursday night was our date night. But, you know, people die, and they get suicidal, and, like, accidents happen, or kids get depressed. And so it was one of those seasons where, like, 3 date nights in a row were, like, evaporated on us. And so I looked at the schedule, and I'm like, oh, wow, I think the next 2 hours might be like the only time I have with my husband. I had told Bill, like, if we get so busy that going to the meal after a funeral counts as a date, we're too busy, right? And so it was one of those seasons. And so I'm like, wow, the next 2 hours is what we have. So I called the boys in the backyard. I'm like, okay, your dad's gonna be home any moment now. See this piggy bank? In this piggy bank's are dimes, quarters, pennies, and nickels. And you can have all this money. Shh. I sprinkled it into the ice plant. You can have all this money, guys, if you pick it all up, and Brock, you have to count it all up, and it has to come to it. At least this amount of money before you guys can come in the house. And then I put a quarter in my pocket and walked in the house. Desperate women do desperate things. But they had a fun time. Bill and I had a fun time. And so be creative. Be creative in finding and making that monthly day away. And then the last is escape. Escape for at least 24 to 48 hours once a year. We actually encourage you to do twice a year. Once a year would be to go to a marriage conference and get new tools in your toolbox, so no matter what life sends your way, you know how you can handle it together. And then, because you're equipped and prepared. And the other would be go away, and maybe Valentine's Day, birthdays, anniversary, and you just rest and recharge. You eat when you're hungry, you sleep when you're tired, and you have sex in between. Just really refreshing time away. And Bill and I have made a commitment to our kids when they got married that every year Nana Papa would come so they can go to a marriage retreat, and we would come so that they can go to an escape. And we pay for both of those. That is our gift to our grown married kids, because the best thing that you can do for your kids is to love each other well. And that's what we just want to do. So what I want you to do right now is turn to that same friend, and T-I-M-E. I want you to say, which one of those do you need to start with? What do you think would make the most forward movement if you started with that today? Ready, go. Well, men and women are very different. Come on back. Men and women are very different when it comes to red hot monogamy. And so how to impress a wife? Compliment her, cuddle her, kiss her, caress her, love her, stroke her, tease her, comfort her, protect her, hug her, hold her, spend money on her, dine with her, buy things for her, listen to her, care for her, stand by her, support her, go to the ends of the earth for her. How to impress a husband? Show up naked. So that, I have, after teaching on red hot monogamy, I saw that women really wanted to love their husbands, but sometimes needed an encouragement or ideas or just a supportive community. And so I created the Red Hot Wife Challenge. It's a 26-day journey looking at the traits that make us a more loving wife, A to Z. Then I usually do it twice a year. The next one's coming up February 21st. I'm going to start it. And we just go through this little book together. I send an email to you once a day with the challenge of the day. There's a private Facebook group that you can get to me to ask any question at any time. So, like, this is probably the best deal on the table because it's only $5 and you get access to ask anything at any time for any reason. And so I want you to think back, you know, when you first got married. I want to close your eyes at that wedding day. What did you appreciate about your husband? What's one of the things you first fell in love with him? Just take a moment and think about it. The first day of the Red Hot Challenge, I encourage you to appreciate. A is for appreciation. And so think about the thing you love about your husband, and maybe today or for Valentine's Day, one of these ideas to show appreciation. Say appreciation through a written or spoken praise. Admire a specific quality he possesses. Applaud a specific effort or accomplishment he has done. Approve heartily of a choice he's made. Commend him in front of his friends or your family or colleagues. Compliment one of his physical features. Accept one of his quirks with a quick hug and kiss. Laud one of his accomplishments with a gift or a family celebration. Warm up to an idea he's brought up by asking for more information. Support one of his dreams by placing a photo of him doing it on your desk. Adore his body from head to toe. Enthusiastically embrace one of his opinions with, wow, I agree with that, or you're so smart. Show pleasure in his company. Say, it's nice to have you in my life. Be mindful of his needs by running an errand or picking up something without being asked. Order a coffee mug with I thank God for you on it. Place a thank you note on a helium balloon. Float it into his office or make a hotel reservation and put the key to that hotel room in a card and send it to work with him. Lord, I pray you give each one of these women just wisdom on how to applaud. And I'm going to wrap up with this one last, this is your assignment, one last assignment. Here we're going to jump to the end. And that is men and women relieve stress differently. How we relieve stress is we talk our way through stress. Like when I'm stressed out, my mom knows and my sister knows that the clerk at Walmart will know I'm stressed out, right? We talk our way through stress. But how guys process stress is they like to go to their favorite easy boxes to rest and recharge. That's why God kind of helped us girls out, and that most of men's recharger boxes kind of shaped like boxes when you think about it. The TV screen looks like a box. The computer screen looks like a box. An iPhone looks like a box. The football field, the baseball diamond, the basketball court are shaped like boxes. The pool table is shaped like a box. The refrigerator is shaped like a box. And the bed is shaped like a box. In fact, that bed box, that sex box, is a favorite box for husbands to go to when they're stressed out. It's kind of like the free square in the middle of his bingo card, and he can get there from every other square on his waffle. And so if your husband, I want you to write this down. If your husband, if you said you have a whole day in one of your recharger boxes, what would he say? See if you know the answer and just write it down. Like he'd want to, you know, go hunting. He'd want to go fishing on a boat. He would want, like, just write down what he would want to do with that day. That's his favorite easy box. And you want to give that as gifts on occasion to him. And the question we oftentimes are asked is, like, what's okay? What's okay behind bedroom doors? What does God say okay in the area of sex? Well, God gives lots of elbow room for freedom of expression, but there are three very important criteria. And if what y'all want to do meets those three criteria, then it's a green light. So why you can say yes to that sexual activity if why you yield to one another. Everything should be discussed and agreed upon. And then E, extended in love. Nobody should ever feel forced in the bedroom. And then S, secure it with privacy. A good lock on the door. Just the two of you, no pornography, no fake body parts, you know, don't compare your husband to all the, you know, sex literature that's out there, the chick lit stuff. For example, why settle for shades of gray when God's plan is red hot? So those are the three criteria so you can say yes to it. And when you do say yes with enthusiasm and creativity. And build some anticipation into that relationship. And so when we, I might jump ahead, romantic rituals. Oh, I'll share romantic rituals. That's those things you do. They're small things that you say, you weave into your relationship day after day after day. If you have a meal with Bill and I, you will always see us pray and then kiss. And we have kissed each other every meal for 40 years. It's so much a part of our relationship that our grandson the other day, he was distracted when we prayed and we kissed. And he's like, wait, wait. We're like, what? Papa kiss Nana. So this is a part of our family. And so look for those romantic rituals that every time you pass the car keys, you say, I love you. Every time you leave, the bathroom on the steam, you write a love note. So you can work in those romantic rituals, leave a note for your husband when you go to work, etc. And our sons is, I love you more. That's how they answer each other. But here's your assignment. One of the ways to build anticipation is to have some kind of a code. And we see in this chapter, right here in Song of Solomon, beloved, my lover has gone down to his garden, to the bed of spices, to browse in the garden and gather lilies. I am my lover's and my lover is mine. He browses among the lilies. Now, she's not saying, let's go to the gardening club. Anytime that you see garden or flowers or spices in Song of Solomon, it's written in figurative poetic language so that if a young child picked it up, they would just think you're talking about the lilies in the field. But the adults all know, oh no, that's like our sexual organs. That's an invitation right there. What she's saying is, oh, baby, come browse. It is a very strong invitation. And husbands love it when you give an invitation and they it's like cleared for landing. Yes, they love that. And so have some kind of a code word. And if you stop by the book table today, there's you could even use this little tonight card and just put it on his pillow and he'll be like salivating. Yes. But so look for the code word. That's what Song of Solomon shared there. And some code words that we've seen work. One pastor, he was young. He had young kids like y'all. And he was very busy. And he's like, oh, my wife needs some attention. So he arranged with the sister to take care of the kids. And he just took her out. And he said, honey, whatever you want to do today. And so she wanted to go antiquing. So they went antiquing. She wanted to go to this nice place for lunch. They did. She wanted to go to the park. And they ended up just feeding some ducks, and they were having great conversation. And he looked down, and he's like, "Oh, my sister, she has to get to work. We gotta zip home." So he walks into his sister's house, and the sister's like, "So how did it go? How did it go?" And he's like, "Oh, pretty good. You know, we had a good day. We ended up just feeding ducks." And she's like, "Feeding the ducks, huh?" And he told his wife, "So my sister thinks we had sex, and we called it feeding the ducks." And so that became their code word. Hey, you want to feed some ducks? And one of our friends, after church, they came home, and they were changing their clothes, and their kids were in the front room, watching the TV. But they were getting hungry. The kids were getting hungry. And mom and dad were changing their clothes, and one thing kind of led to another. And they were enjoying some red-hot monogamy when their oldest just burst through the door. We always wonder, what would we do if that happened? Forgot to lock the door. Prayerfully, that it was good that the sheets were up. Yay! So mom's holding on the sheets, and they had this tradition in their family. It was like a dog pile, but they called it hamburger. One person's the bun, one person's the patty, one person's the tomato, cheese, like that. And so the little boy said, "Hey, you guys, mom and dad are playing hamburger, come on!" So they all piled on. Mom's eyes are really big. And the husband's like, "Just hang on there, baby." And so
And so he's like, kids, go set the table. We'll be out for, you know, making lunch. And so he sent the kids away. But that became a joke in their family after they got a good lock. That is, and so now there's, you want some hamburger tonight? You want to make some hamburgers? That's their code word. Ours used to be, you want to take a nap. But now that we're over 40, you want to take a nap actually means you want to take a nap. You know, so that one doesn't work for us anymore. Our code word has to do with how men and women process their stress. Remember I said women talk our way through stress, and guys like to go to their bingo boxes. That favorite box, that favorite recharger boxes is like a bingo square, and it's kind of like the middle square on a waffle, and men can get there from every other square on their waffle. And so we shared that at a conference when we were talking about red hot monogamy, and we called it bingo. So at that point on, the whole audience, anytime we would even come close to talking about sex, they'd be like, bingo, bingo. And one couple brought us sign that hangs in our office that says born to bingo, and we spoke on a cruise, and this couple chased us down the gangway on the last day of the cruise with this gift bag, and I'm like, thank you, what is it? And they had bought the shirts off the rec department because all week we had been seeing have you been bingoed today, so that's our pajamas. So a bingo card will get Bill's heart racing. That's our code word. We were in the South, and they played like a dating game. And so they asked the question, what would be a romantic date? First husband. I'm pretty sure that we might go to dinner, but we would come home early. Second husband. Well, I think we might go out to the theater or something, but we probably maybe have some bite to eat and come home early. Next husband. Well, I'm pretty sure that we would go out, but then we would come home early, light a fire in the fireplace and a fire on the couch. And I told them later, y'all don't have sex down here. You just come home early. So we all have code words. One woman was so shy that she like couldn't say anything out loud. So she would just put a number from 1 to 10 on the steam on the mirror every day. And 1 meant like come home at noon, and 10 means like go golfing after work. So whatever works for you. So that's your assignment, is to come up with a code word. So I want to pray for you girls before I let you go. And so let me just share before I pray that there's a little special over there, that Red Hot Monogamy book, 8 weeks that you do with your husband together. Then 52 Ways to Wow Your Husband, that's a date a week for a whole year. And then Red Hot Romance Tips, that's 26-day challenge that's coming up right around the corner. And a lot of you women be like, okay, why is all the stuff from the wife? Like, wow him, he needs to be wowing me. Okay, write this down. We have an app for that. It's called Her Best Friend. You can pick it up at the Apple Store or at herbestfriend.org lists all the places that it's sold. And you can put it on your husband's phone. But don't hold up the phone every day and say, have you done this? That will be a little counterproductive. But let him surprise you with some of the ideas and wow you as well. So let me pray over you and your red hot marriages. Lord, thank you so much for each one of these women. God, we thank you that you gave each the man in their life that you've called to love. And God, sometimes as moms, we just feel like everybody wants something from us. And so sometimes red hot monogamy goes to the bottom of the list. Or Lord, sometimes it doesn't feel all that red and hot. And so I ask that you meet each person here, every woman here, meet her at the place of her deepest need and desire. And we ask you to just show her the next right thing that would express love to her husband, whatever that means this week. And Lord, I pray that on Valentine's Day that you would give her the ability to love her husband the way you teach us to love, other-centered. Lord, let it not be a day of expectations, but a day where she just says, how can I give and love and express my thankfulness that God brought you into my life. Lord, thank you that you look at every woman and you love her. And it's so much easier to love God when we feel lavished by your love. So I pray that even today, during your time here at MOPS and as she leaves here, that she would feel lavished with your love.
our verses, we love because you first loved us. God, thank you that you are the author of love. Fan the flame. Keep that spark and that sizzle in these relationships. In Jesus' precious name, amen.